I bet your pound Jesus when he'd been a Bitcoiner.
Yeah.
Because he was a bit of a rebel, wasn't he?
It was a bit.
I don't want your Roman denarii. To take Bitcoin at this temple. No, I'm out of here.
Before we kick off today, do you want a Bitcoin advent calendar? We got some made and they look unbelievable. So click the link in the description and grab yours now.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Bitcoin Collective podcast. Your journey into Bitcoin, sound money, and macroeconomics with me, Jim.
And me, Jordan.
So I am in Johnson City, which is a little tiny little enclave in the hill country of Texas right now. It's Thanksgiving, and I have got a Texan flu. Well, I mean, you might be able to hear it in my voice, but I'm absolutely, I've got the worst, most painful flu I have ever had in my puff, Jordan.
On Thanksgiving as well. What, so you're not going to
On.
go out for
No.
a big meal?
No, I'm not going to go out. And my wife is, she's like, and one of the reasons we came here is because the light show at night and all the way that they've lit all, you know, all the trees are lit up and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm not leaving the house, so I have to go on a lonesome. So
Uh-oh.
how is it back in the United Kingdom?
Good, cold, very cold. The temperature's dropped. What's it like in Texas?
So it's funny you say that. So over the last 4 days, the temperature has come way down, and at 6:30 this morning when we both woke up, for the first 2.5 hours, it was thunder and lightning.
Oh, okay.
And then tomorrow, and from now until we return on the 20, I don't know, 4 days from now, it just gets sunny and goes back up to like 22, 23 degrees.
Oh, nice. But you'll be stuck in bed.
Oh, God, I just don't want to go on that airplane and come back home. And I'm like, I suppose that's one of the things when you talk about all the Bitcoiners and doing all go to going to all the conferences, because, you know, Samson Mao was down in Argentina, then he went to adopting Bitcoin in El Salvador. I mean, you think of all the traveling they're doing, they must be susceptible to stuff.
Yeah, like they're bouncing between four or five conferences back to back.
Yeah.
Hat off to them all.
So I thought I'd share some of. So Jordan and I have been to a couple of conferences. I'm afraid I think I went to a far more enjoyable conference than he did.
Was painful. You sending all the photos in the chat of like, oh, this is amazing. This is so good. And I was just sending like, this is boring.
Yeah. So I've written down like 10 things I learned or 10 things that struck me about not so much the USA in Bitcoin, but more Texas in Bitcoin. So the conference was the Texas Blockchain Council is what it's called, but it's very much focused on Bitcoin. They don't you there's just nothing else is talked about is Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. I think they're just giving it a name. And this was their second year, run by Lee Bratcher, who came and was a ran a panel at our conference, and also he was one of the ones that got standing ovation.
Yeah, he was on the Can Bitcoin Save the Planet? All
Yeah.
about mining.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, he knows it inside out because there are Bitcoin miners everywhere.
That must have been
Everywhere.
so cool.
Oh, and mining units, and had all the mining units out, and they were telling you about how they use energy, and then they had the mining panel, and how there's like four or five of them. They're massive here, from Riot all the way down. How they set up with renewables. So they're all set up with renewables, because obviously they've got the sun and they've got a bit of wind here. And then what they're doing is they're mining away, and then they've set it up in such a way with the electricity grids for local cities and towns that they can switch it in a heartbeat. If it gets too, you know, let's say there's a heat wave down here and they need additional electricity to power all the air conditioning, they can stop mining and put it in. And I was just like, it's just so clever. It's just, they've joined it up. They haven't just said, there's a massive 10-acre field. We're going to create this Bitcoin mining operation. No, they've done it in such a way that they've tied it in with the electricity grid. Yeah. And I'm just like, wow.
I think that's what we have to do in other countries and other states as well.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it's... we need to integrate it into the societies already and into the grids, because like they're the priority. Obviously, people to have energy. It's not like we want Bitcoin to have all the energy and then like the local village has no electricity.
Yeah.
So integrating it is so important.
Yeah. So I met lots of people. The first day was Anthony Pompliano.
Oh yeah, you've orange-pilled him again, have you?
Yeah. He's such an interesting character, the Pomp, because you see that what you see is this, you know, kind of friendly, knowledgeable guy, but he's this absolute professional. You think he's quite relaxed with a hoodie. He's a total 100% switched on professional guy. And he doesn't mess about, you know, he doesn't do the small talk.
Yeah.
So when I got him, he came off his talk and I said, "Hi, Pomp, I'm Jim, live in Scotland. How do you fancy doing a video?" He was like staring at my eyes and staring intently. He was really, really, and he went, "And it's not going anywhere." No, I said, it's just lifted for the people of the UK. Okay, put it on, boom, the smile comes on, he's there and they're relaxed, boom, then he's off again, he's away. And I was like, he's fully media trained, knows what he's doing. But I think some of the chat that I around the hall that I spoke to with people that were there were saying, yeah, he's had his fingers burned, and definitely feels that he's back on the Bitcoin camp again. We met Peter McCormack, gave us a big hug.
Oh, he was good. Like,
yeah, he's loving the fact there's a conference in the United Kingdom now. Absolutely loving it.
Yeah, he was very, he talked very positively when at the conference as well. So that's good to hear that he was saying it again.
Yeah. I was thinking we should go down. One of the thoughts I had was we pick a Bedford home game, let them know we're coming, go down there, watch the game, hope they win. Have a chat with them around some of your plans.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of throw open to him, get his feedback on it, and then he keeps saying to me, Jim, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? I said, I'd love to, as soon as I need to pull that trigger, we'll pull it. But just now, thank you for the sentiment. And I'm like, you could do it. I was thinking maybe a New Year's pod about the Bitcoin Collective and what it's going to do and the track is going down for 2023.
Yeah, hell yeah. Like anything we can do to, I mean, the whole Bitcoin industry is like, how can we help each other? So
yeah,
how can we help each other in this situation? I think we can.
Okay, so let's hit it then. So here's one of the things that I learned about Bitcoin in Texas. Number one is the power of the network. And that's not the Bitcoin network, it's the power of the human network, and how they leverage all of that, how they bring great people together within their networks, and then the network becomes so strong that they can literally get to anyone, get in front of anyone, and just give us an hour of your time and we will do a presentation on Bitcoin and why it's important for our economy.
Yeah.
So that just blew me away, because you know they obviously had Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was a big hit. He did his own panel, but then they had another four senators, two Republican and two Democrat on another panel. And then they all get a massive applause because they were like, because they all said, you know, guys, you need to see, this is not normal that you get two of us from each side of the aisle agreeing on something that is absolutely correct for the Texas economy. And I was just like, whoa. So that network's really important. And then I guess our question, Jordan, is how do we build that in the UK? Because I know we had Dr. Lisa Cameron that came from as an MP, but how do we get in front of MPs? And people say, oh, you don't need them. You kind of do. You kind of need their buy-in, because if you don't educate them, all they'll read is FTX.
Yeah. And I think it's important to get both sides. So that's really cool, I guess, to hear that they had Democrats and Republicans there. And I think we would need that in the UK as well, because you don't want Bitcoin to be seen by the mainstream as being one side or the other, because it's not political. It shouldn't be political. But we need, I guess we kind of, it would be good to have a political voice out there that is advocating for Bitcoin, that understands Bitcoin, is educated in Bitcoin.
Yeah, definitely. And so I just found that really, I thought, God, this is joined up. The second thing was, well, they'd actually, so the Texas Blockchain Council was a council they put together, and or call it a cooperative or an organization. But essentially, it was saying, we are Bitcoin. We know about Bitcoin. We want to educate in Bitcoin. We want to tell you about Bitcoin, and we want to have Bitcoin as part of our economy. Come and see us, and we'll come and see you. So having that organization as opposed to separate organizations, so they all come under the one umbrella.
No, yeah, that's very important. I think that's kind of what we're trying to do as well. Bitcoin Collective is having organization of these of Bitcoin people who love Bitcoin, and getting them to come together and take action together in an organized fashion.
And you're right. So you hit the nail on the head there, an organized fashion.
It
That's
has to
what
be
they are.
organized, otherwise it's just scattergun, and that doesn't
Yeah.
really work because we're up against massive powers.
Yeah.
So it needs to be organized.
So yeah, that was important. The power of the cooperative. The third thing was business and individuals. So on day one of the conference, Lee and his team had set it up in such a way that was a business day. The next day, so the Friday, one day was a kind of business, the next day was a razzmatazz and all the senators, but the first day was business panels, mining, all that sort of stuff. And they invited professional services people, and there was lots of accountants there and lots of law firms all trying to find out about it. And that stood out for me. And I know we've talked about this. How in the UK do you get businesses that are interested in Bitcoin, understanding Bitcoin? Now, I know, like yourself and Joe Nakamoto and others want others, they want people to take Bitcoin payments. But what they were, I just what I saw with them was, and maybe it's just because the Bitcoin mining industry has blossomed here after moving away from the likes of China and the China ban. There's massive amounts of capital come in, and there was a lot of VC companies that were backing the miners, even though just now they said they were still profitable. But they had but for this one, it was business. Come and learn about Bitcoin, and see where your business can fit moving forward. And I thought that was really powerful.
Yeah, it's definitely something I want to look into for the UK as well. Why should businesses be looking into this?
Yeah. And it's a hard one. I mean, it's hard right now. I mean, did I not read that? I tweeted what's that bank? Not Monzo, what's the other one?
Starling.
Starling have allegedly come out and said that they're not going to allow you to make they call it crypto payments. It's saying, oh, hold on a minute, it's our money. It's our money.
It's crazy. They can just ban your bank account, can ban where you're choosing to put your money.
Yeah, it's just people buying porn. There's people buying porn all sorts of shite online.
No, there's people gambling. There's people literally gambling their money away on speculative football games. The Argentina are going to win against Saudi Arabia. And losing millions, probably even billions around the world.
Yeah.
And yet they won't let you put it into a different currency, which is rivaling the currency that they are working in. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you're right. That's I don't think it's a good move. So just to throw into the second part of that. So as you know, one of the places I buy my Bitcoin is BottlePay in the United Kingdom. Yep. For the second time within 6 months, they've asked me to produce 3 months' bank statements.
Oh, really?
So I went back. Second time. So I gave him the bank statements. The bank said, no, we don't want that. We want this bank here. Because I use a couple of banks, obviously. And they were like, yeah, we'd rather have that there. And I said, hold on a minute. You want me to give you 3 months? I mean, 3 months of bank statements where you're seeing every payment I make and everything I do that? You're just a crypto app. You're not like a big organization. You're not KPMG. I'm not giving you much. I mean, the HMRC, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs in the United Kingdom, would not ask for that. They're not. I mean, I've got a crypto app or a Bitcoin app asking me again within 6 months. And I said, well, why do you need that? Oh, we're FCA compliant. We've got to do this. And I feel like saying, no, that's a job's worth. And how do I know that they're looking after my data? I don't trust them. How do I know they're looking after my data?
Why do they have bank statements? I don't get that. I don't understand why.
I find it kind of intrusive. I don't like it. So I don't mind them saying, you're doing it once a year. That's twice a year so far.
So that's interesting because it must be to do with the amount of money that's going in. Because they've not asked me for mine. So obviously I'm below the threshold.
Yeah.
And I'm not the poor person that they don't care about.
They've not asked. Chris was saying they've not asked about. So obviously I'm buying Bitcoin all the way down. So
yeah,
I've maybe put 10 grand or something into I don't think they're used to. I think they're just used to maybe, as you say, people dollar cost averaging for £10 a day or something.
Yeah.
But it just feels a bit, oh, come on, guys. It also made me think, Jordan, I know we're going off on a tangent here, but it made me think that, see the way things are going in the United Kingdom with all it takes is another bank and then another bank to turn around and say, right, that's it, we're not allowing you to make any sort of crypto or Bitcoin payments. I think what they're going to do, I think, see, within 3 to 5 years' time in the United Kingdom, the only place you'll be able to buy Bitcoin, apart if you, unless you go to something like HODL and some peer-to-peer thing, which I'm going to try out, is via the bank. That's what will happen. The bank will sell you your Bitcoin because that'll put them in control again. You can buy your Bitcoin from us. We know you bank with us, so we know where all your money is and we know how much Bitcoin. They might turn and say, you can only buy X amount of Bitcoin. Do you know that way? And I just get the feeling this is the way it's going.
But then what, they would custody it and not let you send it?
Well,
kind of like what Revolut do.
Therein lies the question. Would they then say, yes, you can buy your Bitcoin the same as PayPal, you can keep it on, and we will look after it, but we're not giving you it? And I thought, oh, I wonder if that's the way this is going to go in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, it's tricky because, I mean, I've been thinking this a lot lately as well. It's like, what happens if, let's just say hypothetically, all the banks don't let you, or they just have to ban it. They don't let you put it onto a Bitcoin exchange.
Yeah.
What are the ways to get Bitcoin then?
Well, again, So let's play that forward. And this is a discussion I had in the car from San Antonio. Let's say in the United Kingdom, turn around and say, okay, you can buy your Bitcoin, but you can have it, you can put it in your wallet, but it's never coming back in. As in, we are not going to allow any exchange in the UK to accept Bitcoin and turn it into pounds, for example. Just like a blanket ban.
Well, that's fine. If we could, what, converting it from Bitcoin back to pounds?
And remember, people still have bills to pay just now, so you can, it's easy to say, oh, just hodl and never change it. But as Peter McLaughlin says, you know, he's got a family to feed and something. Oh, Peter McLaughlin. Peter McCormack, he's going to
kill
us.
Why did you read him Scottish?
Aye, Peter McLaughlin, aye. But, I mean, you reserve the right to change it into any currency you want, you know, if they don't accept Bitcoin payments. But so then that came back to, like, I can see why Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert have moved lock, stock and barrel to Bitcoin country, El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And this comes, I think we've discussed this before, that this is what will happen. You'll have five or six countries in around the world that will become Bitcoin countries, and all the money in Bitcoin will flow into them, and people will move there.
Mm-hmm. I would consider it if that's the path like the UK went on, which I don't believe it will. I think we can win that fight, essentially.
Yeah. Well, you can win that fight if you're doing something like what the Texas Blockchain Council are doing.
Yeah.
And they seem to be doing really well. Okay, the next thing I saw was this Bitcoin only.
Good.
So they didn't say, well, you know, you should have Ethereum and we like that. They just said it's Bitcoin only. We talk Bitcoin, we mine Bitcoin, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Okay, that's good to know at a blockchain, especially at a blockchain summit as well, that it is Bitcoin only.
Yeah, 100%, and that's what they're mining. Nobody talked about Ethereum or Cardano or any of these things. It was just we mine Bitcoin, we promote Bitcoin. I mean, the mayor of Fort Worth in Texas, just outside Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Is making it a Bitcoin city.
Nice. Oh, I remember that in the news a while back.
Yeah. And she came on and she did a video. She couldn't be there in person, but she did a video of it all. And I was just like, that's so cool. You know, she's actually said, we are building our economy in Bitcoin. We've put 5% of our reserves in Bitcoin. We're going to move forward with Bitcoin and Bitcoin payments. And I'm like, that is so clever compared to us in the UK where some wee two-bob bank is turning around saying, you're not having your crypto. You can buy your pornography, you can buy your online gambling, you know, all that sort of stuff, but whatever you do, don't buy that.
It's crazy actually how different we are. I guess how different we are to the US, but then you have to break down the US into then Texas, because this is happening in Texas, not the United States. It's like Texas is very special, along with, like, is it Wyoming? And there's a few other states that are adopting it and they realize the potential of this. But hearing all this, it does show how far behind the UK is.
Oh, totally, totally. The next thing I learned was how they use the media.
Okay.
So they had mainstream media there, I think with CNBC, who were interviewing Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz. And it wasn't just, you know, Cointelegraph. Bitcoin Magazine weren't there, which I thought was interesting.
Aren't they from Texas? No,
they're Nashville.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's good to know, though, that they managed to get mainstream media. I'm actually seeing it a lot more in America, which is positive, is like Jeff Booth was on mainstream media the other day. I don't know if you saw it.
Yep.
Natalie Brunel has been on multiple different channels in the US, like doing what she does best. And Jack Mallers has been on. So I'm seeing a lot more of it getting talked about in the US. I don't know if it's because of FTX, which gives more exposure to Bitcoin, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing under the circumstances. But obviously, like, that's what we need to get to in the UK. We were supposed to have the BBC at our conference. They pulled out at the last minute, unfortunately. But we need more mainstream media, and it'd be interesting to see what narrative they pull from it. I would be interested as well. That's me just talking about the UK conference, our conferences, but the narrative that they wrote about this summit that you were at, if it was positive, negative, you name it.
Yeah. So when they were there, and the other thing just now is all over the news, and I mean, if you watch Fox News, if you watch CNBC, Bloomberg, everything right now is this FTX scandal. Everything. And, you know, is this the end of crypto and crypto? And it's possibly been the last flush of the toilet before we hit crypto spring after this crypto winter.
Yeah.
And I listened to a podcast today with this guy who's very good. He's the Morgan, I think it's a Morgan Creek. I think it's Morgan Creek Capital CEO. Yeah. Essentially came on and said he felt we were just about to turn the corner in the new year. You know, you get that crypto spring moving towards, we're getting ready for a bit of positive sentiment into 2023 up to the next halving.
Yeah.
He said, and then this FTX thing hit. He said, and it's the biggest fraud. He's one of the biggest frauds he's ever seen. He can't believe no one's taken action. And this guy's supposed to be going on TV.
Who?
Sam Bankman.
Did you see that? I cannot believe it. Like, this guy should be behind bars. It's ridiculous. And now he's getting named, or he is going to a summit or a conference to speak by the New York Times.
And Zelensky's there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So they've got the mayor of New York there. They've got Sam Bankman-Fried. They've got Zelensky. They've got Mark Zuckerberg. They've got Janet Yellen. Why is SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, there? Why is he amongst this? I don't know if this is... I mean, this is what's happening, but will he actually be there? Because he should be getting arrested.
I mean, Interpol, the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, everybody should be there, and he should be arrested. I mean, someone actually came out and said, oh, he's a bit like a Robin Hood. He stole and gave to... He gave $40 million to Zelensky. It wasn't his to give. It was stolen money.
No, he stole from the poor to give to the rich.
Yeah.
Because he's been donating to different political parties. And, I honestly cannot believe it when I saw that. That he confirmed that he was still going to this conference.
Shows you how much money he siphoned away. If he goes there, he'll go there in a private jet. And you're like,
if that actually happens, say, I don't know if this will go ahead. This is what's just been confirmed. So we don't know if it's actually going to go ahead. If this goes ahead, it kind of just reaffirms my assumptions that he's obviously, there's some dirt on him that bigger powers don't want us to know.
Yeah.
That he's been working with someone else.
Yes.
Because you shouldn't get away with that. This $8 billion just siphoned away and given to his parents, have invested $121 million of it into property, and it's gone to so many different parties.
Yeah.
Like, just not political parties, but just parties, that if he is just getting away with it and he's amongst all these other people talking at this conference, I'm sorry, but that's fucking bullshit. There's something happening.
So what it comes back to is, I think if he makes it up an appearance there, and remember, this is also the media. This is the New York Times, isn't it, that's sponsoring this? It's interesting, in America, there's been a bit of a backlash. A lot of people are saying they're cancelling their digital subscription to the New York Times as a result of it. But this comes back to something that we talked about before, and it's the venture capital money that gets behind these coins and these exchanges, and they can use that money to sugarcoat people and buy loyalty and buy friendships and relationships. And you can't do that. You cannot do that with Bitcoin. Because there's no money. It's just you buy it and you hold it. You can't do it. You can't make up money, make up a token, and all of a sudden you and the founding team are all billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Could you start selling this token at 0.0001 cents? Then you shill it, use media, use personalities. I mean, Tom Brady over here. Have you seen the advert he did? All his friends are like, I'm in. That's done his reputation no good either. But that wasn't paid for by the marketing budget in FTX. That was paid for by siphoning off of like people like you and me's money. It was given to them in trust. And that's why when Botopay turned around to me and say, give us all your bank statements, I'm like, I know. Who's to say you're not just as bad and you're selling them on the internet for X?
Yeah.
Anyway, when is this thing supposed to happen? Because if he actually goes on there, and as I think it's Alan Sorkinson, this is the guy's name, is a journalist. People have been banging him on Twitter, and he said, Andrew Sorkin, don't worry. I've got plenty to ask him.
People have been, just asking him to have conversations with him, and I'm trying to find out when this summit is. It's not long.
I'm amazed the guy hasn't run away somewhere.
Wait, I think he's in the Bahamas, I think.
I mean, some big companies must have, I mean, some big people must have a lot of money, lost a lot of money. I'm surprised there's not a contract out in his head.
There might be.
You know?
I suppose we wouldn't really know. I don't know where you'd find that. It's called the Deal Book Summit. Right. The 30th of November. So when's that? That's in 6 days.
Yeah.
Wow. That'll be interesting.
Whereabouts? Does it say whereabouts it is?
New York.
Oh, if he flies into New York, he's got to get arrested.
Surely. Right. Let's move on. We've had our rant about him. Everyone hates him.
But again, what I was saying was it's all over the media here. And unfortunately, what I saw the Texas Blockchain Council doing is they're using the media really well, is that they're educating them on Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And the distinction between Bitcoin and all this crypto crap that's out there. Okay, next one for me was they're constantly taking action. So they don't just have that conference and that's it. They are constantly then following up with the senators, following up with congressmen and women, tapping into the business people, making sure they're constantly taking action, and there was a real energy around them, and I really liked that. I thought that was clever.
Nice.
The next one was jobs, and they focused on that. They focused on the goal. They focused on the industry, and that. They were bringing jobs to Texas. They were bringing an industry to Texas. It was good for the grid. It was all based on solar and wind. So it was really good for the economy. And how that could, I guess we talked about how using the miners and could feed that back into the grid. But it was jobs. And they just want to create a Bitcoin economy down here. And all the different things that will come off that, you know, your Jack Mallers, who, for example, it was brought up, Jack Dorsey's is building his new wallet. Allegedly, this is going to be a tremendous Bitcoin wallet, but he's building it in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
It's almost like we need to get people in the UK, or maybe influential, if looking at the top-down approach, because I know we're going for both, but the top-down approach is finding influential people in the UK and getting them to a basic knowledge, and then it's almost maybe flying them over to Texas and be like, these guys are doing it right. You can learn so much from them. and linking them up. Like, I'm talking maybe some politicians, some energy company like SSE in Scotland, different people from different industries, and showing them what can be done. Because I want to go to Texas now. I want to see all this.
Yeah. I mean, remember, Lee did say that he brought down Penny Mordaunt when she was International Business Secretary, or some title like that. I think she's leader of the House now. But Penny Mordaunt came down, he'd given her the presentation, and allegedly she'd say something like, how do I do this in London? How do I do this in the UK? She loved it. She got it. She completely got it, because it was a joined up approach with business and politics, politicians and industry leaders who were creating something special. So, and then again, oh no, I can feel a rant coming on, Jordan. Oh, then I wake up this morning and I read the newspaper online that says, oh, Scotland's Supreme Court says no, you cannot. You're not having an Indian F2. Like, so you should, like, can we just leave it at that? And then Nicola Sturgeon's ramming on again about, oh, well, we're just going to take this as a de facto. I was like, oh, God, I can't. I mean, this is just, oh, God. Teachers on strike. The NHS has gone down the pan. And they're just banging on about independence. And this was the same SNP Scottish MSPs that we invited. We invited Nicola Sturgeon's special advisor, who said he would come, then he didn't. They don't seem to get it. I think they'll create an FTX token and tell us it's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go to Sam Bankman-Fried SNP, get him to create a token, give you 10 billion of them, and then shower out the money out to us, and we'll all be like, this is wonderful, thanks, until it all falls down.
I mean, they're going to do that anyway, because we're going to join the euro, right?
So we're getting
an absolute, like, horrendous currency anyway, if we do go independent. It's very frustrating.
I think, Jordan, that's a nail in the coffin for the SNP. I think it's a nail in the coffin to turn around and say, well, thank you for the Supreme Court. The judges have said you can't do that, but we're just going to bend the rules and kind of do it this way anyway, because we're obsessed with taking this country. And nobody wants. I haven't met anyone who wants it. Have you actually spoke to it? I don't know. In your generation, I don't know anyone who says, I can't wait to be independent and independent Scotland.
Do you know what? I'm never having the conversations. I've got no opinion whether we stay or whether we go, really. And I'm never really having those conversations anymore. It's very nothingness.
Yes. But I just fell down here. They were on it. They were bringing the politicians in, and the politicians said, are focused on where Bitcoin is in the economy in the 21st century. Finishing up then, they had regular events. So it wasn't just the big conference there, but they have regular, I think they have an event every quarter in a different town or city in Texas. And what they try and do is move outside the bubble. So nice. They'll go somewhere that is not a Bitcoin community. So it could be, I'm making this up, it could be like a teaching council or a teaching union or having a summit.
Yeah.
And they'll go out and they'll do a presentation on Bitcoin and why it's the future, and why those people as educators should start to educate themselves in it. And I thought that was a really clever way to do it as well.
Wow. Yeah. And it's very much what we've been talking about as well. Damn, I want to go to Texas now.
the main thing was it wasn't hot air. It wasn't nonsense. You could see it. I mean, there was like, I think there must have been 10 different mining companies. Like, you know, everyone takes stands.
Yeah.
So there was 10 different mining companies. One of them, and they were just talking through about how their mining companies set up. They were all a little bit different, and they were all developing new mining technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, wow, this is clever. This is smart. And they're bringing hundreds of millions of dollars of investment into the community.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we live in Scotland and they don't want that. So,
is that all 10? Nice.
I thought that was quite clever what I saw here, and it would be lovely. But I know with the Bitcoin Collective, we're kind of starting to create that United Kingdom, pull everybody together. But it was just, I thought the big thing was, you know, see if you get a couple of big hitters, politicians, and a couple of big hitters in industry, or big hitter entrepreneurs who get it, and not like that tosspot from Shark Tank. Oh God, he's so. AKA Mr. Wonderful Kevin O'Leary. He's just like, but anyway,
we need to get Martin Lewis. If you can sit Martin Lewis down and explain it, I'd like to think that he'd understand it. Whether he would actually talk about it, is another question.
Yeah.
But that's wow. Yeah, I really want to go to Texas now.
So I think we need to go to El Salvador as well.
Yeah, and see it all.
Yeah, and not go when there's a conference there.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Did you see there's an African Bitcoin conference on the 5th, I think it's the 5th to the 7th of December?
Yeah. Yeah, it's massive. Yeah. There's some huge names there going.
Yeah.
I want to say Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, Jack Dorsey's going.
Yeah.
And it kind of made me think, oh God, I think it's Accra. I'm not sure where that is, if that's Nigeria or not. But I thought, God, that looks really interesting.
Yeah, I'd love to go. That's another place. I would love to see the adoption in Nigeria and what it actually looks like on the ground, because I think they're one of the biggest Bitcoin adopting countries in the world. At the moment, anyway, just because their currency is so shit.
And you've actually said that you believe that the biggest growth in Bitcoin adoption is going to be from your South Americas and your Africas.
100%. 100. It just makes sense for them to adopt it. And it's going to be, I mean, the more the likes of the Western countries that resist it, the more that they're going to fall behind, which is, I don't see that really as a bad thing. Because although I live here in the UK, is that a bad thing? Because it is, on a global scale, it is leveling the playing field out. And that, I feel that's how it should be.
Yeah. I guess the final thing here is in Texas is, Jesus loves Bitcoin.
God, did you actually see that sentence anywhere?
I'm telling you. So I always cracks me up. Literally every other billboard sign, every other radio station you tune into is a pastor, or it's all about Jesus, and they're maybe reading subscriptions, and some of them are really good. I get quite engrossed in them, and I was like, Jesus loves Bitcoin. Yeah. And I came out in a panel. I believe in Did Jesus and I believe in Bitcoin. Brilliant. Brilliant. Listen, we obviously don't want to offend anyone in any religion out there. I bet you £1 Jesus would have been a Bitcoiner.
Yeah.
Because he was a bit of a rebel, wasn't he?
He was a bit.
I don't want your Roman denarii. To take Bitcoin at this temple. No, I'm out of here. All right, folks. Sorry I'm not on par, but I've got the Texan flu. But I'm looking forward to coming home to Dundee and catching up with you.
Yeah, awesome. Right, well, enjoy. Hopefully you feel better. You can enjoy the last few days.
All right, take care, everyone.
Ciao.
Ciao.